Okay. Now we are going from what happens inside the buildings to what happens outside. Outdoor environmental noise law and regulation in Italy. Here is where there is really the big money, because here the typical work that an acoustician performs in this field is a job being paid from 50,000 euros up. Here there are jobs which are paid 200,000 euros or more. Because here we are dealing with the large building of infrastructures like highway, like railway, like plants for treating wastes, or like the incinerator, or like power plant for producing electricity. All these kind of object in Italy is mandated to be acoustically checked, both in design and after being built, and there is a lot of work to be done in this field. As these are expensive contracts, also the acoustician gets a lot of money for this work. Of course, that is not easy, because here we are dealing in outdoor propagation, which is much more difficult to compute, and use simulation software, which is very expensive also. Okay, the slides are in Italian, because what we are talking now is peculiar to Italy. There are terms which cannot be translated, actually, because in all the other countries there is not a law so powerful like in Italy. If you go to France, to Germany, to England, so more civil countries, you expect that the environmental protection in this country is better than in Italy, but it is the opposite. Italy has absolutely in the world the most powerful legislation about noise than any other country, with a lot of technical content to be provided by the designer of a new building, of a new factory, of a new transportation system, and so on. In no other country there is such a precise and powerful legislation regarding noise. So currently in Italy we have three different types of limits for environmental noise. The first two usually go together. Those are the equivalent level produced by your noise source during day and during night. So those are two independent limits, so you can perhaps meet the day limit and exceed the night limit. This is quite common to happen. Then there is a completely different type of limit, which are differential limits. The most evident difference is that the first two ones, which are called absolute limits, are to be checked outdoors with the microphone out of the window of the house, and instead the third limit, the differential limit, has to be checked and complied indoors, inside the room, both with open and closed windows, but always inside the house. Okay? We will see exactly what are these three parameters and what are the numbers, the limits you need to comply with. And finally, we will see what is the acoustical zoning of a town, which is the graphic, the plan of your country, containing with different colors the different limits which are being enforced in various parts of the city. Then we will need to see some modification in the law which are occurring, but the modification has not been completed because the European Community released in 2002 a directive about environmental noise which defined different quantities to be checked. Well, actually one is the same, which is the night level. L night is the same. But instead of having L day and the differential level, we only have another integrated parameter which is called L den, day, evening, night. Day, evening, night. And this is a combined parameter. So, according to the European regulation, there are only two limits instead of three. This has been only partially accepted in Italian law, so now in Italy we are in a strange situation because the old law is still valid, so we still need to comply with these three limits, but you should also check for new design of new structures, of new highway and so on, if the new limits will be respected, will be complied, when the law will make them to be mandatory, which is yet not the case. Till now, the law to be checked, the limit to be checked by the current law are these three. We are in the between in the law change. There are a lot of decrees which give you details about these limits and how to make the measurement, and specific for the railway or for the highways and so on. The most important one is the so-called legge quadro of 95. All the others are ancillary laws to this fundamental law, which is the legge quadro. Okay? An acoustician must be half an attorney because he needs to navigate among more than 20 different laws which partially superpose each other, taking into account the temporal evolution of the legislative framework, and is not really easy, so an acoustician must possess a deep knowledge of the law and of the diritto amministrativo, I don't know the English translation. For those things, really translating in English is very difficult because Italy has some things which are completely peculiar to Italy. Italian legal system has no correspondence in other countries. Our system is much more complex. We have many more laws, we have many different degree of laws. They are not all at the same level. For example, this legge quadro is a top level. Only the Constitution is above this. DPCM is a lower level ranking. So if they contradict each other, legge quadro prevails because it is a primary law and DPCM is a secondary law. This one is a decree of the Ministry of Environment, is a third level, even lower. So when there is contradiction between this one and this one prevails because it is higher level than this one. Italian regulators, our parliament, they are really bad people, I must say. They write the law, but they are not trained to writing laws. They make a lot of errors, as I have shown you in the previous presentation, and all those laws are written by different people with different concepts, using different wording, which partially contradict and cancel out each other. It's a nightmare. That's the reason for which only a little number of professionals in Italy are able to navigate through this system. And they make a lot of money, of course, because it's difficult, because it's not easy. There is not only a simple law with simple limits to be checked. If that was the case, everyone was able to do this job. Instead, it's very, very difficult. Only a few good level technicians with profound knowledge of the legislative system in Italy, but also good engineers with deep knowledge of the technical facts, have both the knowledge in the same person, so they can deal with this stuff. All other people, even if they are very good technicians, or even if they are very good attorneys, lack this two-way knowledge, so they cannot deal with the problems which arise in this field. Let me start from the old Italian law, the one of 95. You see, it's old. With the law of 95, we have three quantities to be checked. The day equivalent level, which is measured in a fixed period from 6 in the morning up to 22 in the evening, so it is 16 hours long, and you make an integration for this whole length of the day, so you start your sound level meter at 6 o'clock, you stop the sound level meter at 22 o'clock, integrating all what happens in these 6 hours, and the value which you get is the day equivalent level. And this is parameter number one. The second is very similar. The night period starts at 22 in the night and ends at 6 o'clock in the morning. So it is only 8 hours long. It is half the length of the day. So we have 16 hours of day and 8 hours of night. And each of these two values measured with these two measurements must be below the limit which the municipality did decide for the area in which your building is. So every piece of territory has a different color on the map, and each color gives you a day limit and a night limit, which must be respected. Then you have the differential limit. This has nothing to do with zoning. The differential limit is the same whatever is the zone in which you are building it. And you make short time measurement, not 16 hour long measurement. In this short time measurement, you make two measurements, one with the source on and one with the source off. You make the difference between these two levels, and this is the differential level. The differential level must be below limits which are fixed 5 dB during day and 3 dB during night. If the differential limit exceeds these values, the noise, the source of noise, is not complying with the law and must be kept permanently switched off. It is forbidden to switch it on. And that can be a problem for many factories, which say, for example, fans or compressor or other kind of equipment which are not running continuously. They only run when it is needed, and they can be forced not to use this equipment if this exceeds the differential limit. And as shown here, the first two are outdoors, and the third one has to be measured indoors, both with open window and with closed window. This is an example where the measurement is made with a microphone outside the window. You see here there is an outdoor microphone. It's a special microphone designed to survive to rain, wind, and so on, with a big foam around the microphone for protecting it from the environment. And there are also spikes on the top for avoiding that birds go over the microphone and make defecation over the microphone, destroying it. So it is a special outdoor microphone unit. You mount it here you mount here your box, your sealed box with the sound level meter, you leave it here for 24 hours or even 1 week, and after your recording is done, you see the sound level which was changing along the time. These are 1 minute measurements. You make a lot of 1 minute measurements, you make this chart, then you make the average, because by law what matters is only the time average over the 6 hour of night and the 16 over the 8 hours of night and over the 16 hour of day. You get these two values. Is the night one here is around 57 and the day one is around 67, and you compare these two values with the two limits for the day and night equivalent level, 56.1 and 67.7, 57.1 and 67.7. This instead is an example of measurement of the differential level. Here the source was off, and the equivalent level is called in Italian rumore residuo, residual noise, is 48.7 decibel, while this was, I think, a compressor, was switched off. Then the compressor starts, you make a second equivalent level measurement, more or less of the same length, which is approximately 1 minute each, so these are short measurements. And now the level is much larger, is 56.9. The difference is huge, is 8.2 decibel. That measurement was during day, you see here the time was 13.50, so it is in the middle of the day. The limit is 5 decibel, but the difference measured is 8.2, so this compressor is outside the law and must be kept permanently switched off. It is forbidden to switch it on. Okay? If you switch it on and you get fined for the first time, for the second time you are advised to remove the machine or to make an enclosure over it, and they usually give you 3 months for doing this proofing, soundproofing of the machine. The third time the whole activity is closed, so the factory is closed, not only the machine. Okay, so a very big factory can be closed just for one compressor. That's terrible for the owner of the factory. You cannot stop the Fiat factory in Mirafiori because one compressor is out of limits. But this happens, not the first time. The first time you exceed the limit, you only get fined of 1,000 euros, something like that. Second time the fine is bigger and you are given a terms for complying, but if you don't respect the terms and you are fined the third time, then the law states that the whole factory is switched off. The worker cannot enter the factory anymore. It is terrible. It's a complete lock of productivity of the factory. So again, here there is a lot of money involved regarding factories. The differential limit is a big trouble for factories when they have residential building close to the factory. Often the only solution is to buy the house, is the cheaper solution. In many cases there is no way to bring the noise of the factory within the differential limit, also because there is one factor which is out of control, that is the residual noise. The residual noise is not the noise done by your source. It's the natural noise which happens to be there. That is out of your control. How can you be sure to not exceed by 5 decibel a background noise which is the natural noise of the site? If, for example, this noise is made by insects or birds, if they decide to go away from that side, then the background noise goes down. And you should reduce accordingly also the noise of your source. It is terrible for the owner of a noisy factory to comply with the differential limit. Italian law has other two peculiarities. For all the level measured, you can apply both a tonal correction and an impulsive correction. Each of these corrections is of 3 dB. So, if your noise has a tonal character, you should increase the value measured by the sound level meter by 3 decibels. If your noise has an impulsive character, again, you increase the value measured by 3 decibels. Where you apply this tonal correction? There are 2 different criteria to be met. First of all, you make a 1/3 octave analysis and you measure the minimum level in each frequency band. So what you see here is not the spectrum of the equivalent level, of the time averaged level. This is the spectrum of the minimum fast value at every frequency. On this spectrum, you look for what is called a tonal component, componente tonale, as one band which exceeds the surrounding band, the neighboring band, by more than 5 decibels. So this band here is a tonal component because it is more than 5 decibels louder than these other 2 bands adjacent to it. Okay, so if this condition is met, you pass to the second check. The second check consists in checking that your tonal component is the largest value in phon, not in decibel. So you superpose the human hearing chart. You remember from one of the first lessons of the course, the isophone chart, which is defined in ISO 226, you superpose this to your spectrum and you check if your tonal component is the one determining the largest value in phon. In this case, you see that this is not true, because this is your tonal component at 80 Hz, but here, at higher frequency, you have some value which have a much larger value in phon. Here is around 65 or even 68 phons, while this value is only 54 phons. So this is not a case where you apply the tonal correction. Even if this peak was quite evident, is not to be penalized by 3 decibels because it's not the loudest one in phones. Okay? So this one is not a tonal component. Let's go to the impulsive correction. Again, we make a correction of 3 decibels when the sound is impulsive. How can you check that the sound is impulsive? For making this check, you must analyze your noise with 3 different time constants. The impulse time constant in red, the fast time constant in blue, and the slow time constant in green. The noise is tonal, is impulsive if the difference between the maximum sound pressure level with impulse constant is 6 decibel or more than the maximum slow value. So if the difference between maximum impulse and maximum slow exceed 6 decibels, then the noise is impulsive. But again, there is also a secondary criterion to be checked. Looking at the blue line, so at the fast time constant, the duration of the pulse measured 10 dB below the maximum fast value, this length, which is shown here, must be less than 1 second. If also this second criterion is met, then the noise is really pulsive. And if the noise is pulsive, as this is the case, this is a real case of pulsive noise, that was one guy hammering over steel. Don, don, don. That is pulsive. But if you hammer over a bell, like in a church, that is not pulsive. Why? Because the bell does not extinguish quickly. When you hammer the bell of the church, that sound for second make boom, it lasts 10 seconds. So the curve, the fast curve, is like this one. So at minus 10 decibel is not less than 1 second, is several seconds. So it does not meet the criterion for the Italian law to be considered impulsive. And there is no penalization of 3 decibel for the noise of the bells of a church, because they are too long. The event must be short, like that is short enough for being pulsing. But it may pong, it lasts long, is not impulsive. Okay? You need to measure with all the 3 time constants. See all the 3 charts. You check the maximum values impulse against the maximum values low, and the difference must be at least 6 decibels. But simultaneously, for the same pulse, the track of the fast time constant must be shorter than 1 second. If only and if only the 2 criterions are met, then you apply the correction by 3 decibels. Okay? So it is again a double criterion, like for tonal character. Also for the impulsive character, you need to check 2 criteria. The first is max impulse minus max low greater than 6 decibels. And the second is the length of the impulse in fast time constant less than 1 second. Okay? The modern instruments make all this testing for you. You don't need to really look by hand. Okay? I can show it to you very quickly. If we make a recording with audition, let first we record only my voice. Papparapapero, my voice should not be impulsive, okay? So this first part of the recording is not impulsive. But now, okay, I expect the second part is impulsive. Let me check. I analyze the first one, time history analysis, await, and this is the time history with fast time constant, with slow time constant, and with impulse time constant. The software already computes the maximum impulse, 92.4, the maximum slow, 85.9. If you look at the difference, is more than 6 decibels. So you could say, oh, but this is impulsive. But there is also the second criterion, the duration of the fast impulse. Here, if you look at those impulses, it's longer than 1 second, at minus 10 decibel from the maximum. So the total evaluation tells you that this voice is not in proxy. But if now I analyze the second part of my recording, now you see those impulses here. And the fast duration now is much shorter. So again, the max impulse is much larger than the max low, so the first criterion is met. But now also the second criterion is met, because those impulses are shorter than 1 second. And at this point, the impulsive correction has to be applied, because both criterions are met. Okay, but the software does this for you. You don't have to do it yourself. The same for the spectral criterion. If you use the software for doing spectral analysis, this already tells you if you have to apply spectral correction or not. A proper spectrum analyzer already contains the check for these two kinds of corrections. Well, there is a third criterion actually. The impulsive event must be repetitive. It must occur at least 10 times each hour during day and 2 times each hour during night. If it is a so-called insulated event, an event occurring and never repeating, this is not going to trigger the penalization for impulsive noise. The event must be repetitive. Like in those examples, there were several impulsive events. If there are not, if the number of events is too small, you cannot apply this correction. Okay? And now let's go to the limits. The limits given by the law for the absolute level, day equivalent level and night equivalent level, depends on the zoning of the territory. These classes and the corresponding colors are decided by the municipality, which have planning of the territory, and in those planning of the territory, they draw the plan with different color, meaning different acoustical limit during day and during night. Class 1 are protected area like schools or like the hospital. Class 2 are residential area, which is a type of zoning which was built in the past. In years like the 60s or the 70s, the so-called dormitory areas, where there are only houses, which is now, at least in North Italy, forbidden by law. You cannot build any more purely residential area. Nowadays, you can only build class 3 or above. It's forbidden to build class 2. Because those are dormitory areas where life is not nice. You don't have any shop, you don't have any service, you don't have public transportation, like tram or like the subway. You don't have anything, only houses. And that's terrible. If you need to buy some piece of bread, you have to take your car and go a 2 kilometer distance for finding the first shop. So this is completely forbidden by modern legislation in Italy, but we still have in our towns some remaining area which were built in the 60s or in the 70s, where this is still true, and here there is a lower limit, of course. Mixed area are the most common one. 90% of Italian territory falls in class 3. Then there are high activity area, like the city center, typically within the ancient walls of the town. You are inside a high intense activity area where the limit allows for louder noise, because it's where the city is alive, okay? is where there are bars where the people stay out of house during night drinking and enjoying their life, so the limit is larger. Then there are two kinds of industrial area, the prevailing industrial area, class 5, and the exclusive industrial area, class 6. In class 6, there cannot be any house, any residential area. In class 5, then there can be houses mixed with capannoni, I don't know the English translation, but building designed for industry. But there can be also houses. And the night limit is lower by 10 decibels. Up to class 5, night limit is always 10 decibels less than day limit. So during night you can sleep better because the noise is lower. In purely industrial area, the night limit is equal to the day limit because no one is sleeping here. Those are areas where no one is allowed to sleep. Then there are the differential limit, which, as said, are 3 decibels by night and 5 decibels by day, independent on the area. Well, the differential limit do not apply to class 6. Why? Because there are no houses. And the differential limit is measured inside the house. So if there is no house, there is no way to measure the differential limit, so the differential limit does not apply to class 6 area. Okay? Here you see an example of the planning of our municipality in Parma. This is a wall picture of the wall area of our municipality. As you see, most is orange, and orange is class 3. As I said, that is the most common class in the territory. All the countryside is class 3. Okay? But the city center, at this scale you don't see because you only see it black, which are the lines of the roads, but all the city center is actually red. So it is class 4. Our municipality decided politically to keep high classes, so to allow for loud noise. Other municipalities in Italy made an opposite political choice to keep the limit very low in most of the territory and allowing loud noise only in very limited area close to factories in the industrial area of the municipality. In our town, in Parma, instead, generally speaking, we are quite tolerant to noise. We allow for having a lot of noise, both inside the town, where we have almost everywhere class 4 or even class 5, because if you see here north to the railway, most of the town is in class 5 because there are factories inside the town, and this is allowed. Our municipality wants to keep the productive plants together with the house. So the limits are kept large. The problems are always due to the differential limit, because the absolute limit here in Parma is high enough for making the exceedance of the limits to be a rare event. Not often it occurs in Parma to exceed the absolute limit. Most problems in Parma are for exceeding the differential limit. Here you see a more detailed example of what are the boundary transition of classes. Here, for example, there is a productive area. I think this one is close to the river, so this is actually where they extract sand or gravel, and they treat the gravel, crunching it. So it is a very noisy area with excavator trucks and crunching machinery and so on. this area is in class 5, it's surrounded by a safety area in class 4. Within the class 4 area is forbidden to build new residential houses. You can only build commercial things or productive things, but not residential buildings. Then there is class 3, which is all the countryside. What you see here is a school, which is in class 1, and again it's surrounded by a small boundary in class 2. As you know, also in class 2 is forbidden to build houses. For the opposite region of class 4, class 4 is a noisy region, you don't want to have houses because they are going to be disturbed. Here is a class 2, you don't want to have houses because they are going to disturb the school here. In class 2 is again forbidden to build. You can only build in class 3 in practice in Italy now. New houses can only be done in class 3 in the orange part, which is still the largest part of the territory. Again, here you see a green area. This is a natural park in this area, a large natural park. And again, you see the whole complete transition between a class 6. This is a continuous working plant, working also by night, so it is a industrial area in class 6, and you have all the transition 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. In Parma there is never boundary between classes which are not different by more than one class. In other towns, instead, the municipality did not create these transition classes. So, for example, they keep class 1 until the boundary of class 6. This is a big trouble because, of course, the noise cannot suddenly fall by 20 decibels. The noise decreases progressively with distance. It doesn't make a jump. So how can you have this noise to fall down suddenly? Only by building a very tall barrier is the only way. So in these other towns where they make this choice of not creating these transition stripes, you'll see a lot of barriers, because everywhere there is such a transition, they are forced to build a barrier. No other way to respect the law. This is another example in the center of Parma, where there is an exception to this scalarity principle. Here there is a school, again, which is inside an industrial area or a class 4 area. In this case, it was not possible to create the transition stripes. In this case, often you are forced to install a barrier. Without that, it will be impossible that inside this school, the limit, the very low limit for a class 1 area are respected. What is allowed by the law in this case is to make what is called a direct soundproofing of the receiving building. So in this case, instead of building a barrier which is 20 meters tall inside the town, and the people inside those buildings will never see the sun because they should be surrounded by this incredible wall, you are allowed to change the windows of the building, making it soundproof, making it compliant with the limits, with the performance of the building, which we have seen in the previous hour. If you do that, you are exempted from building these incredible barriers. This is allowed by the law in these exceptional cases. This is not the rule, this is the exception. Okay, eccezione. Okay, this is how the plan was approved, and what happens after the plan is approved is that the companies, the factories which don't respect the limits, have 2 years for making technical action to bring their noise within the limit. Now we talk very quickly about the new law. The new law which has not been approved completely yet, because the European directive is by 2002, it was partially accepted in Italian law in 2005, so we now have an Italian law, this one, which formally receives the European directive, but in practice this was never completed by the decree which fixed the new limits corresponding to the new parameters described by the European directive. What is important to understand about this directive is that there are new descriptions. The most important one is LDEM. LDEM means level of day, evening, night combined in a single value. How you make the combination? You make a day level integrating between 6 o'clock up to 20 o'clock. You make an evening level for just 2 hours since 20 o'clock until 22 o'clock. And again the normal night level between 22 and 6. You make an average of these 3 values, but the day level is left the measured value. The evening level is increased by 5 decibels, the night level is increased by 10 decibels. You make the average of these 3 levels with these 2 corrections, and the total equivalent level over 24 hours with this penalization for evening and for night give you the total LDEM value, which can happen to be smaller or larger of what we currently measure as LDEI. So, more or less it is the same value. In some cases it is smaller, in most cases it is slightly larger, but more or less it is close to LDEI. And then you still measure LDEI, which remains as a separate parameter. The other difference with respect to the previous Italian law is that when you make the measurement you must exclude the effect of the reflection over the facade of the building. As typically you make this measurement with the microphone on a balcony or outside of a window, the noise is being reflected by the wall of the building, and this reflection boosts the measured level by 3 decibels, which, according to the European directive, must be taken away. So this is the formula for combining LDEI, L-evening and L-night with their penalization in a single equivalent level over 24 hours, which is LDEM. In principle, the idea of the European Community is to have only one parameter to be checked. LDEM, good also for night, because the night is within LDEM. Instead, some country, including Italy, asked for maintain a separate L-night limit, and so we ended up, like now, there are 2 limits, LDEI and L-night, and again we have 2 limits, LDEM and L-night. With the absurd thing that LDEM also contains the night level, which still has its separate limit. It makes no sense. It's completely meaningless. But this is what the European Community decided to do. Every country can change the time limit for each of these 3 levels. So in Italy, we decided for these time limits. But other countries have different time limits. In many countries where they love to sleep more in the morning, they bring the day limit starting at 7 o'clock in the morning. In Italy, people awake very early in the morning, so we start the day period at 6 o'clock. But that is not the common choice for other countries. In many other countries, instead, the evening period starts much earlier because they have dinner at 6 o'clock. So they have the evening period starting at 6, at 18, at 6 in the afternoon, instead then at 20 o'clock as it is in Italy. In Italy, almost no one has the dinner before 20 o'clock. In northern country, they have the dinner at even at 18, at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, you see. So those limits are national. They can be different in different nations. So in the end, the value of LDEM in Italy is not comparable with LDEM in France, in Spain, in England, and so on. Because all are different, having different time limits. So the idea to have a single descriptor valid for the whole Europe in the end was broken by allowing the single country to change the limit. Here is an example, is the same example of the same measurement made here in Parma in Via Duca Alessandro 20, which we have seen before for computing the old Italian values. Now the limit, the value for night is the same, of course, because the duration of the night did not change. We have the day limit, which is now 65.5, because it is only 14 hours instead of 16 hours, and we have an evening level of 61.2. When you combine all these three values together, sorry, what was this one? Well, I don't know. It's repeated, the slide is there twice. When you compute all together with the formula of LDEN, you get an LDEN which is 65.1. If you compare it with del Q-day you had with the Italian law, it was 65.5. So really there is not a large difference in the practical case between the new law and the current law. In practice, what we expect is that the new law in Italy will maintain the same table of day LQ and night LQ as it is now, but instead of being called day LQ, it will be called LDEM. Definitely maintaining the current limit, the law, the Italian law, could still work quite well. So this is what we are expecting our parliament will do. But in practice, it is now 8 years after the initial reception of the European Directive in 2005, and no new set of limits has been approved. So we are still now using the old limits of LQ day and LQ night. One could ask if the new standard will result in a more restrictive regulation or a more tolerant regulation. We checked this with different examples, like for example a flat noise for all the 24 hours as it happens close to the highway connecting Milan with Bologna, where there is one train every 3-4 minutes both during day and during night, and the equivalent level is completely flat for the whole 24 hours. A second example is to be close to a factory which is only working during day and there is no noise during night. And a third case is the same, but now here the background noise level was small, and here the background noise level is higher. What happens in these three cases? We compare the result. This is the first case, a flat profile, and with current evaluation, you have a day equivalent level of 70, a limit of 70, and the limit is respected. If you apply to this flat profile the new computation of LDEN, the result is much larger, 73.4. So if we maintain the same limit, now this limit will be exceeded significantly. This means that with this kind of profile, the new regulation will be more restrictive than the current one. But the situation is not the same in this case. You have the factory working only for a number of hours of the day, and during the evening and night the level are smaller, and in this case the current day level is 68 and the limit is 70, and you are close to the limit. With the new standard, you dilute the day level in evening and night, so the total LDEN value is much lower, and in this case the new regulation will be more tolerant than the current one. And instead, if the environmental background noise is larger, then you end up more or less in the same situation as now. So this proves that in some cases the new regulation can be more restrictive, in some other case it can be more tolerant, and in the end, if we take a real example like a recording made here in Via Spezia, in this case we measured with the old regulation a daily equivalent level of 58, and with the new regulation and the same noise profile, you had measured LDEN of 55. So in this case, again, the new standard is more tolerant than the old one. I think that in the end, if we keep our current table of limits, nothing dramatical will occur, and we can survive the change from the old regulation to the new one without the need of building kilometers of noise screen in our towns. What is not recommended is that we adopt lower limits for noise. I think our current table of limit value, they are already quite small, this value. If you reduce them further, it becomes almost impossible to respect this limit. They will be systematically exceeded. And there is nothing wrong, nothing worse than a limit which cannot be respected. When a limit cannot be respected, it becomes not a limit anymore, at least here in Italy. Because it is impossible. In the moment in which it is impossible, how can the authority enforce a limit which cannot be met? You close everything. You close the road, you close the factories, you close everything. You cannot do that. So it's better to have a reasonable limit which can be met doing the proper technical things, and then you can enforce the limit and find who exceeded it. But if everyone is always exceeded the limit, how can you enforce the limit? It will be impossible. So my suggestion is that the limit should not be changed. Thank you. Any questions? Let's talk.